Hello, I'm Julianne Good, and this is Psych 101. Welcome. We are here to make psychology more understandable and with tips for you, your family, and your friends to make your lives easier. Tonight, we're going to have a fun psychology show. My special guest is from El Paso, Texas, as Eliana Herdani, LCPC, who combines astrology with psychology in her practice. Hi, Eliana. How are you?
Hi, Julianne. I'm good.
Wonderful. And I understand you just got back from Brazil.
I just got back from Brazil. Yeah, my body is here. I guess my mind is still there. So,
and a little jet lag, I would imagine.
That too, yes.
So can you tell the audience a little bit about your background, how you got into combining astrology with psychology?
Sure, I would love to. First of all, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
And let me get started. I always had an interest in astrology since I was really young, but I didn't really understand that there's a whole body of knowledge behind it. It was just the regular, you know, magazine, horoscope kind of thing, and I remember reading them and trying to figure out my friends' solar signs and all of that. And then when I got to college, I was actually in college as a translator in Brazil. And I was invited to work in a department that was kind of a library and held the master theses of all the students and, you know, got some discounts on the tuition. And my boss there, so to say, she was one of the teachers at the college, and she was very, very spiritual. She was a very almost etheric woman. I mean, she walked around those hallways. She had long blonde hair and big blue eyes, and she believed in the seven rays, and she would come dressed Mondays all in white and Tuesdays all in pink and Wednesdays all in yellow, but really shoes, purse, everything. But above all that, she was a really, really kind and nice and great human being. It was just amazing. I loved being around her. So she kind of started bringing me some books, and I started reading all those occult and esoteric, Madame Blavatsky and all those books, and didn't understand half of it, but was just fascinated by it. And she invited me to an astrology course that was starting, and I was like, wow, this is great. So we went, and she later actually dropped out, and I stayed. And it was really the beginning of just opened a big door in my life and in my mind. And it was a 2-year in-depth, very in-depth astrology basic course. And that was kind of the beginning. And from there on, I started doing charts right away. And I would just read a lot of books and go to conferences and workshops and try to soak in all the knowledge of this fascinating occult science, and was very successful. I had a good feedback from my clients, and they really enjoyed it. And at some point, I started realizing there was a certain frustration in me that I would do the chart for my clients, and they would really identify with everything I was saying, and it would really raise their level of awareness and self-observation, and they would open up in the session and tell me things that, you know, they would start with, oh, I never told anybody this before, and here it comes, the big secret or the, you know, whatever they were holding. And I started feeling very incompetent in terms of, what do I do with this? I couldn't give them a follow-up because astrology really doesn't offer any therapeutic tools per se in the long term. So that kind of led me to go back to school, and I was already in the U.S. by that time, and I went to counseling and got my master's and my license. And so then I was like, okay, now I have the tools to kind of help these clients make the changes they want to do and kind of help them along the way. So that's kind of in a nutshell how I got there.
That makes perfect sense to combine the two if you're stuck at, you're doing some kind of consultation in a way with doing the astrology readings and looking over the charts. And to be able to take that to the next step, I think, would be really beneficial for the people that you see. What type of clients have you seen over the years?
Wow, all sorts of clients. Of course, if I want to use astrology, it is important for the client to have some sense of self-awareness. I would not use astrology with a client that is severely mentally ill or is on strong medications. It was just not a good tool. So in that moment, I was just pure counselor and would use my counseling techniques. So then I have clients that just come for the chart and they come for the yearly progression. So I give them the yearly, layout. This is what you can expect. This is what the planets are doing for you or not, and kind of help them give them some guidance for that year. And then I have clients where I use both. I use the chart and the counseling techniques to help them, and all sorts of ages. I have one story that, it's kind of my first client. My first client, she came to me. She was a mother of two boys, and one boy was 4 and the other was 6. And she wanted me to do the chart for the boys. And I was very nervous, first client, first paying client. I wrote about 15 pages of notes and did the chart. And back then we would tape them in cassettes and the client would take it with her. And that was it. And years later, she came back to me and she said, "I need to tell you something. Her boys are not her, and they're 30s. And she said to me, "When my boys turned 18, I gave them the cassette, and we all listened. And we were so amazed of how much it fit, how well you described their personalities and how they acted and all of that." So this was like great feedback for me, even though it came a lot later.
No kidding.
I love doing the chart for children, like for the parents about their children.
So they did not listen to that cassette tape until they were 18, is that correct?
That's correct,
wow.
Yes. And I had kind of a policy that I would, only do the chart for, every once in a while I would allow a 16-year-old, I would kind of meet with the person, and talk to the parents and say, "What do you think? You think your child, would your child the best, and let me know what you prefer." They only listened to it when they were 18.
So they can actually look back on it versus listening to it and saying, this is what's going to happen, so I should be prepared for this. It just kind of ended up happening. And... like major milestones in their lives, possibly?
Well, the chart that I had done for them was the basic personality. So there's kind of two products that we can use in astrology. One is the analysis of the natal chart, and that uses your date, birth data, like the day, month, and year of your birth, the city you're born, and the exact time you're born. So that's pretty much fixed. And the belief that we astrologers have is that in that moment when you're born, you get imprinted by the energies of the planets. It's like a cosmic DNA almost. It's the law of synchronicity. Whatever is happening up there is happening down here. So we kind of read the stars in that moment, and that will correlate with that person being born in that exact moment. Now, the astrology in the West is less, fatalistic or destiny-driven. Mm-hmm. Like Eastern astrologers are more into what's written, it's going to happen, and the Western astrologers believe more in free will, and there are some possibilities for change, and that also the environment plays a big role in how that chart is going to develop.
Mm-hmm. And since you were... born and raised in Brazil and also trained in Brazil, how do you see that there's a difference between the way that you were trained versus astrologers that you know in the United States and their training. Has there been any significant difference between the two that you've noticed?
The training in itself, not really. It's very, very similar. In terms of acceptance, there is a big difference in both countries. Brazil is a very spiritual country, and people are fascinated by astrology. They're open to astrology. Even they never heard of it. They're curious about it. And I remember when I would say that I'm an astrologer, I would immediately, you know, be asked to hand out cards. And so they were very, very open. And in the U.S., there are pockets of places. Of course, if you go to California, you know, Arizona, New Mexico, that's going to be a place where it's very much accepted. Now, I went to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. where a little more conservative.
A little bit more conservative. And the level of acceptance was not that high. So, but in New York, Manhattan, it's another big pole. So it's like pockets of places. And if you are one of those, you're going to be fine. If not, you're going to feel, I felt a little disappointed because it was coming from that place of huge acceptance. Mm-hmm. But the techniques and the teachings in itself are pretty much the same.
Okay, so it's not much variation. So
no, not in the body of knowledge and the science itself, yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, and you had brought up the different spiritual aspects in Brazil. How did that play into your astrology training and business?
In Brazil, since there was such a big acceptance, it was fairly easy for me to get started and create an office. And I actually had a small school, and I had classes and students, and it was a lot of fun. So it was easy to open up a practice there, an astrology practice. In the U.S., it was a little harder because you have to find your niche. You have to find your clients, and they don't come that easily.
So how?
Does that end?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and how is it down in Texas? Well, I mean, you live in El Paso, so discuss that a little bit. I'm fascinated with that.
Well, I've come to Texas fairly recently, so I've been here only a year and a half, and okay. I have to say most of my clients by now are my virtual clients. Mm-hmm. So these are clients. I have a website that come through the website, and they're not local, and we do the chart via Skype. And so it has been way more virtual. I haven't done a lot of marketing. I've tried to connect with some astrologers here, but there's not a big community. So I haven't done a lot of work in terms of marketing because the clients I have from you right now, that's okay. And my main work here in El Paso is more as a counselor. That's my job, so to say, my 40-hour job. And the astrology is something I do in the evenings or on weekends.
In your pajamas at home.
In my pajamas at home, exactly.
I love Skype, yes. Well, we're all going to be working sooner or later. From our living rooms in pajamas, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it reminds me that I the work I do, I have to, now I'm not traveling a lot, but I used to travel a lot. And when clients from other countries and time zones would, you know, schedule a chart, and I really, you know, wanted to do it for them and accommodate their time, I remember that I would sit in Italy and wake up like at 1 a.m., comb my hair, do my makeup, put on just a nice shirt, of course, pajama bottom, and sit there and do their chart via Skype and then just go back to sleep.
Oh, definitely. So how long are those sessions via Skype approximately?
I usually tell my clients they're about an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. It really depends on the client. Some clients, like your more introverted clients, they listen and they're listening, and it's the astrologer who's talking a lot. And I tape everything I say. It's taped, and I send it to the client, or the client can tape it themselves. And the more extroverted clients, they ask a lot of questions. So I usually give that time frame between an hour and a half, but we can pretty much cover everything.
And the more extroverted clients have the camera on, correct?
Super correct. Yes.
And they get all dressed up for you, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So where are some of your virtual clients? What countries are they in?
Well, I have a big following in Brazil. So once I left Brazil, every time I go back to Brazil, I just send out a mass email. I'm coming back like I did this time. And then people already start emailing me back. I want to do a chart. And I already arrived there with kind of a schedule for clients. And then word gets around that I'm in country and people come. So that's pretty neat. And those that I can't serve or are not there at that point, we'll just do a Skype session later. When I was living in D.C., I did have a small, some people found me, a small group of people, so they come on a yearly basis, come back to do their progression. I haven't branched out much. I do have a small community of clients in Germany. I'm also half German. So I do have, and in Germany, it's well accepted as well. So I have some in Germany. So it's pretty much these three countries that I have my clients.
Oh, terrific. And I know you are trilingual, correct? You're fluid in Portuguese, German, and English, correct?
And Spanish.
And yes. Spanish. Okay, terrific. Lucky you.
Yeah, well, if you learn it as a child, you know, yes. It comes very easy, and I was really lucky to grow up already bilingual, so then it gets easier.
Yeah, and it's helful too because there are so many areas of life where you have to be at least bilingual nowadays. And I'm hoping that the school systems are going to sooner or later have every elementary school child learning at least one other language than their native language. So,
I agree with you. And from a mental health perspective, like a neurological perspective, it's already great if your brain is already practicing two languages. There are parts of the brain that are just more developed. So just from a pure brain development stance, I totally agree and think it should be done. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, Ileana, we are going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about how you combine psychology with astrology.
Okay.
The Chicago School of Professional Psychology offers numerous psychology, behavioral, and health-related science graduate degrees at three campuses, Los Angeles, California, including branches in Westwood and Irvine, Chicago, Illinois, and Washington, D.C., and online. The Chicago School prepares students to meet the ever-changing mental health needs of society through classroom experience and real-world training. The Chicago School Counseling Centers in Irvine and Westwood provide caring, confidential, and affordable psychological services to individuals and their families. For more information, visit thechicagoschool.edu.
And thank you to the Chicago School of Professional Psychology for sponsoring Psych 101. This is Julianne Good, and my special guest tonight is Ileana Herdani from El Paso, Texas. We are talking about combining psychology with astrology. And Ileana, how do you do that? You know, combine the two. Do you start off first with doing a chart and then doing the counseling or vice versa? Or typically, what does that look like?
Yeah, that's exactly how it looks like. Like your first option, I do the chart, and usually it takes about a session to do the whole chart for the client. But as we're doing the chart, the client already lets me know what are some of the issues that the client is facing, would like to work on, things like that. So I'm also taking notes because I know we're going to have a follow-up on that one. But I'll focus, usually the first session, I focus on the chart and I try to finish it and save it on a disk. And then when the client comes back for the second session, then I'll check in, see if there's any questions, anything about the chart that was, you know, left or client thought about, wants to know. And if not, then we start working on issues that the client presented and start going more in depth. But then at the same time, I do a little progression, which means I'll look at the stars in the sky today or in that month and how the stars are influencing the client's chart. And it's very interesting because the issues the client brings can be seen in the sky as well. So it's kind of just a confirmation, and I let the client know and say, listen, this is the energy that's surrounding you, but I really try to come from a positive and a strength-based place. So this is not your destiny. We can work on this, and this energy is here to teach you something, to strengthen you in some shape or form. So let's look at that, and then we use the counseling techniques to help the client get stronger and make those changes.
And that's a nice way to do it too, because some people are like, okay, it's in my chart, therefore it's destined to happen and I can't do anything about it. And I've seen that happen with a few people. I actually knew an astrologer quite well in the Phoenix area. And there would be some people that would be coming to her, but on a regular basis. And it almost got to the point where, you know, she felt like she was being too heavily relied on. And there was a codependency issue happening because there was one of her clients just wouldn't do anything unless she looked at her chart. And then she would start saying, well, I can't do this because it's in my chart today that something horrible is going to happen. So I'm going to avoid that altogether. I mean, she really ended up getting that obsessional about it. So do you ever have anybody come to you that gets to that point where they don't want to, you know, move off on their own? They're just fixated on their chart or fixated on their diagnosis or...
Yeah, I mean, that's a great example. You know, they get in that victim mode and just like to stay in that victim mode. And what I try, how I try to work around that is from an astrological perspective, I really try to educate them and tell them this is just energy and potential and it can be changed. You're not doomed. So I try to give them a little bit of an educational, but then I also go into that victimhood and try to explore what are the benefits of staying a victim? What are you getting out of that? And that's kind of where we start working. Are you getting extra attention? What exactly are you getting out of staying in that place? And try to help the client see that they're in that place and see if they want to change and bring them out. And then we can work on other things. Because if the client stays in that victim and everything happens to me and I can't do anything, not even a counselor can do miracles. So it is a collaborative work that we have to do. So I try to pull the client into that collaboration.
Yeah, and that's a great way of doing it, Ileana, because you're right, some people can get stuck in that victimhood and then they make excuses for why their lives are not working, why they're not moving ahead, why they, you know, they're envisioning their perfect life, but they can't make it happen because everything is happening to them. And they're not taking the responsibility and the power and, you know, taking over their lives where they can and making the changes. So I love that you come from that perspective.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly it.
So what is one of the most interesting cases that you worked with that the combination really worked well?
Oh, there's several that come to mind, but one comes to mind that I had twins ask for an astrology chart, and these twins literally were born a minute apart from each other. And I did the chart, and I thought to myself, wow, these charts are identical, which, you know, is true, but usually we know that even identical twins still have some difference in them. And I said, how am I going to differentiate those two twins from each other? So I took a very hard line approach when I calculated the chart. When nowadays we have computers, back then I learned to do all the math, you know, by hand, and it was excruciating and long and took a long time. But there's some calculations that we do where we kind of, you know, we're not too strict. We kind of observe the chart in general and might give it a little one more point, minus a point, something like that. And with those twins, I was very, very strict. And what happened is one of the twins had one aspect in the chart that the other didn't. And that exact aspect, the meaning of that aspect was, I want to be different. So when they both came in, I asked who's who because they were, you know, exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And that one girl who had the aspect that showed, I want to be different, I told her, I said, my guess is that you're the twin that doesn't want to be a twin, that doesn't like to be a twin. And she was just like, her eyes turned that big, and she's like, that's exactly right. So I interpreted those charts from different filters. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And it's fascinating because it's only 1 minute apart.
Yeah.
And they in psychology and research, they love doing twin studies, especially identical twins. That's pretty rare. So that had have been a great learning tool for you to be working with. How often did you get to work with them?
It was just a one time. It was a chart that I did for them. So it was a one time, one session. That was it. But it turned out really great.
And wouldn't it be great if they came back to you and say, hey, do our charts again and see exactly if anything changed. I mean, that would be great. Hopefully they do come back.
That would be amazing, yeah.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. So what are the strengths of doing the combination versus doing either one or the other?
The strengths in doing the combination is that I really see them as being very complementary. And if you think of a broader, I'm just going to go a little broader and then go more into detail. If you think from a broader perspective, in the old days, the sciences that we now call occult sciences and the mathematical and you know, hardcore sciences, they were all one. Way back when, numerology and mathematics was one. We used numbers to do math, but each number had a meaning. Alchemy and chemistry was one science. It was just two sides from the same. Tarot and cards, playing cards and using the cards as a, you know, method of prediction. And so you can look at those two sides. Astrology and astronomy was one. Astronomy was the science, you know, looking at and locating the stars, and then the astrology gave them meaning. So after, you know, the Middle Ages and the Illumination period and science coming up, that's when those sciences were severed from each other. And psychology, if, you know, look at the scientific world, is kind of a science, but it's also an art.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We that are in the field, we know that. There are techniques, and there are evidence-based techniques, and there's a lot of research, but there's a big, big part, which is the relationship between the therapist and the client that mm-hmm. plays a big, big role.
Yes.
So astrology and psychology work very well together for me, I believe, because the astrology gives me the opportunity to have an assessment, an in-depth assessment, very quickly. Where usually if we would use a traditional psychology assessment that we do, it can take more than one session. And the client can tell us what they want to tell us, especially those clients that, you know, don't want to be in treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely.
When you start from, you know, with the astrology, using it as an assessment tool, the astrologer talks and clients are just amazed. They're just like, wow. I mean, I just was seeing a client the other day for therapy and real briefly used the chart. It wasn't even a long session. And I just pointed them some points on the chart and told it, and I'd never seen that person before. And he looked at me and he said, oh my God, how long do you know me? And that causes in the client, number one, it's going to be hard for me here to lie because she kind of sees a lot in there. And number two, there's a level of trust that gets created that is very, very fast. much faster than if we just do the traditional psychological in-depth interview.
Yeah, from that perspective, that's interesting on its own, because it's like you're doing background information on them. You're pulling up the chart, and you're telling them, this is what I see. And, yes. You know, they can say yes or they can say no, but they can, you know, and like you said, you've had it with many clients where they're amazed that it's like, I can't believe that you found that information on me. And mm-hmm. that almost gives them permission to maybe open up a little bit more, because you've got background information on them somewhat. So
that's right.
It's probably a little more of an icebreaker versus some people. Well, a lot of people, when they come into therapy initially, they're scared or they just don't know what's happening. I mean, if it's their very first counseling session, it's you know, breaking the ice. It's letting that person warm up to you. And it's, like you said, it's the rapport setting. It's
exactly.
letting them get comfortable with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a lot of people, that can be a really frightening experience. So maybe with the astrology, it's not so intimidating. Is that correct?
Yeah, that makes sense. And they get to know you because you're the one talking. So they have time to, especially those clients that are wary and, you know, first time, as you mentioned, they get to observe you, they get to know you, they get to read you. So they have a lot of time to decide, this is somebody I can trust or not, or this is somebody that triggers me the wrong way, or this is, you know, and if you do it, if you come from an empathic and understanding place, it makes it much easier to make that initial connection than if you're just sitting there with a notepad in front of you and just asking one question after the other and just taking notes, which makes it a little bit more impersonal.
It does. The initial assessment for a lot of people can be offsetting.
I know. Yeah.
So having that extra tool to break the ice and make a connection would probably be really helpful. What percentage of your clients overall during the years would you say does a combination?
I would say it's about 20%, because right now the work I do, I've been working with the military. So I really don't present myself as an astrologer when I'm working on a military base.
Right.
So I end up just, you know, having my extra time to see those clients that are interested in having both.
So when you go back to Brazil, you're probably a rather busy woman, correct, if you're seeing clients down there?
Well, I try to make a balance because I really want to have, you know, a good time and enjoy myself and use my vacation. So I try to do a combination of not too much, still having fun, enjoying it, and not feeling stressed. But, yeah, I have. Last time I went in 2 weeks, I had 18 clients.
Wow.
So. Yeah, and that was a little much, so this time I tried to have one a day, which was okay. That worked for me, so I could have my time off, you know, see my friends and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, have balance. That's very important.
Yeah.
Especially for counselors. So can you tell us a little bit about the three most important parts of a chart?
I would love to do that. When we look at a chart, there are many, many elements that we look at. The planets, 10 planets, we have 12 signs, we have the houses, the aspects. So there's many symbols that an astrologer looks at, and all these symbols have meaning. But the three big ones, the big triad, I call them, is the sun sign, that's pretty popular. Most people know their sun sign. It's easy to find. The moon sign, and that's a little harder because you really have to have somebody calculate that for you. So what is your moon sign? And then the ascendant sign. So those three, it's almost like if you're preparing a meal, those three are your basis. This is the potato and the meat and the salad. And then everything else is how are you going to prepare it? What are the toppings? What are the spices? How are you going to add to that? So I'm going to explain a little bit what each one of those means. When I do a chart, I usually look at the ascendant first, the sign of the ascendant. And technically, it means that was the sun, the sign that was ascending in the horizon when you were born. And from an astrological perspective, from a psychological perspective, it's your persona. The analogy I give my clients, I tell them if you were a house, the sign on your ascendant describes the front of your house. This is what everybody sees. This is who you are when you arrive at a party and you don't know anybody. This is what you show. The sun sign is the owner of the house. That's who's inside the house. Some people have ascendant sign and sun signs that are very similar. So these are the people that when you meet them better, you're not surprised. It's like, well, what I saw, this is who you are. People who have very different signs are those people that you're like, wow, the first impression on who you are very different. And finally, the moon sign. The moon sign represents our childhood and our emotional world. So I usually start with the ascendant, then I go to the moon sign. The moon sign describes you as a child. What have you seen? What kind of family you had? Where did you grow up? Your first environment, which is so important and impregnates us and gives us a basis to life later. And then the sun sign is our mature self, which, you know, some people mature at 12, some people never mature.
But
it's kind of to be your light, when you start shining, when you find your way, when you really become who you're supposed to be. So those three are a neat combination. When you just talk about those three, you can get a lot out of a chart.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice, because I think for a lot of people, just looking at an astrological chart can be intimidating, because there can be so many symbols on it. It can be confusing. So just being able to lock into those three areas would be a good start, and especially if you don't have a lot of time to be delving into something. So I gave you my birth date and information yesterday, and what did you pull up on it?
Yes, I did pull out that your ascendant is Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
Your moon sign is Capricorn, and your sun sign is Libra.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Yes, I didn't. I knew most of it, but yeah. Let's talk about it. That could be interesting.
Okay, so I'll go in the order where I usually go with clients. Okay. I start with the ascendant Scorpio. So people with Scorpio on the ascendant, so that's kind of what you present to the world. That's the first impression people have from you. And in the first moment, they tend to be reserved, kind of suspicious. So if you would arrive at that party where you don't know people, the tendency with an ascendant Scorpio is like, I'm just going to look around, see who's who, what kind of party that is, what's happening, kind of get a good feel, and kind of does not approach people right away and really doesn't like to be approached right away, prefer to do that first scan, so to say.
I scope it out. I scope it out.
You scope it out, exactly. You scope it out. And once somebody with the Scorpio ascendant feels like, okay, I can trust, this is okay, then they actually look for a very intense contact. That's why the scoping out happens, because they really want to find somebody or a situation that really moves them. It's a very intense, emotionally intense sign. So they're not happy with 80. They want 8 or 800. So they're looking for somebody that really moves them to the core. They want to have a conversation that's intense or an experience that's intense. For some people, it's difficult. Like maybe, I don't know if you had that experience, some people might feel put off by people with Scorpio ascendant, because you'll be the one that will be asking very penetrating questions at that soiree where people are holding their cocktail, and they might feel like, whoa, you know, this is, and you're just, you know, this is, I'm interested in interesting conversations. I'm not, mm-hmm. you're not typically your people who will do the small talk and talk about the weather. That doesn't move them at all.
And that's how I ended up getting this show.
Yeah, there you go. That's great. When we learn to use, when we use our energy in the right place, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Scorpio on the ascendant, they also have a lot of energy. They're the ones that when everybody else is like, oh, I'm done, I'm falling apart, they're still there. They're holding. So you want somebody with a strong Scorpio energy. If there's a crisis or an emergency or things, the Scorpio people are the ones that are going to say, there's a joke in astrology that we say that the Scorpio people are the ones that decide when they're going to die.
That's great. I'll remember that. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm not ready yet.
You're not ready yet. That's good. So they like those situations that are intense. So
yes.
Some people might feel a little like, oh, this is a little too strong to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in your case, then we go over to the moon in Capricorn. Moon in Capricorn, we call that is an it's a moon exile. Moon is at home in Cancer, which is opposite to Capricorn. So if a planet is opposite to sign, we call it, it's an exile. So it means like, it's not really very comfy there. So Moon and Capricorn children are children who had to grow fast or who had a lot of responsibilities placed on them very early on. Either they're the oldest or the only, or parents weren't really around. So these are the kids that very early on expressed a sense of responsibility and seemed very disciplined and they do the right thing. And then automatically the grown-ups around say, oh, you can let, Julianne handle it.
Oh, yeah.
And they're kind of serious small adults. They tend to manage life well. They want to improve. They're kind of the people who save today to have later. If you think of Capricorn, a good analogy is the goat that was on a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very, very self-sufficient. They don't need a lot. They're just climbing the mountain. And it's usually a good sign to have as a mature adult. As a child, it can have a lot of heaviness because it's not a sign that allows for a good flow of emotions. As a child, if you have the moon in Capricorn, there might have been situations where it was just not appropriate or not valued to show emotion. It was valued to show hard work and responsibility.
Especially growing up in a German household.
I can relate to that.
I know you can.
Totally. Yeah, Germans are very Capricorn in nature. Like the energy of Germany is very Capricorn in nature.
Interesting.
So then we go into the sun sign, and it's like when you grew up, you became a Libra. So you went from a Capricorn. So for people listening out there, that's kind of how you look at it. The ascendant is what I show. The moon sign is who I was in my childhood or the energy that was around me. And then the sun sign is when I kind of who I am when I grew up. And the Libra is a sign. I mean, it's if you look at the scale, you have it's a sign that ponders, that looks for balance, looks for harmony, doesn't like to be alone very much because it's very important to have somebody kind of on the other side that tells me how am I doing. They like that mirroring. So in a way, it's a lighter sign coming from that Capricorn energy. Libra is an air sign, likes to relate to people, loves the world of art.
Yes.
Like the art feeds their sense of harmony and their sense of good taste. They have a very strong sense of justice. They couldn't put their own emotions aside just to, be fair to a person or a situation. So it's an easier sign to live with, being a Libra.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and that kind of ties into one of my favorite mottos. It's never too late to have a happy childhood.
There you go.
I'm living it now. And that all makes sense from what you just told me. So thank you so much for doing that interpretation.
You're welcome. Thank you. We are
going to take a small break here, and then we're going to wrap things up, and you can let everybody know how to contact you. And
sure.
Anything else you want to mention towards the end, that would be excellent. Thank you so much. Are you searching for answers and insight to life issues? Is the behavior of family or friends questionable or concerning? Find tips and possible solutions from the convenience of your own PC, cell phone, or tablet at therapycable.com. Therapy Cable has the most comprehensive library of contemporary therapy videos online. Help may be as easy as a few clicks away. Therapy Cable offers comprehensive therapy videos ranging from addiction to self-care and contact information for qualified providers. Find the answers to your life challenges at therapycable.com. Welcome back to Psych One-on-One with Julianne Good and Ileana Herdani from El Paso, Texas. And we were talking about combining psychology and astrology. And thank you, Ileana, for that mini reading. That was pretty fascinating. I got to say, I was just, you know.
That's great. You're welcome.
Yeah, I was a little blown away by it. I was like, going, wow. I mean, you know, I think you really pinpointed some really deep aspects about me, which I'm not going to share, but but it is interesting. Because of course, when you read astrology in magazines or the newspaper or whatever, they're so general. So
yeah.
They're more like for light, fluffy entertainment versus getting in and actually doing the charts. So
yeah, and I wanted to add that. Here's where the misconception in astrology happens many times, is probably as I was telling you those points, in your mind's eye, you were probably having, flashbacks, memories, images come up.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people then kind of, there's almost like a little moment of memory lapse or something where later on people say, oh my God, the astrologer described my dad or whoever precisely. And it's because in that moment, the client is visualizing the scene and I'm describing the energy and they just put it together and they kind of mix it. And I don't know the stories. I don't know how you're growing. I wasn't there. But that's kind of what happened. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And you're right. I was actually visualizing, especially when you're talking about Moon in Capricorn and that goat trudging up that mountain. You know, and having all that responsibility, that was very right. fitting for my childhood. So that was really interesting, just pinpointing that.
Yeah, and you can see how a client would then feel comfortable. It's like, oh, wow, she knows that. So a client would feel, it would be easier for a client to open up and bring out some issues or some stories or some things they want to talk about more in depth.
Right, especially if it's something deep and as you had stated before, it's a lot of clients come in and say, I've never told anybody this before, which, yeah. you know, as counselors, we do get that statement up quite a bit or some form of that. So to have right. that comfort set up for them almost right off the bat is it probably knocks down a few of the therapy sessions because they're ready and willing to share and open up.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what is the most pressing issue that you have dealt with working with both of these combined, with both astrology and the psychology? What, you know, like you've looked at somebody's chart and go, oh my God, how am I going to tell them this? Or how am I going to work with this particular aspect that came up in the chart?
I think the most difficult and pressing issues are childhood traumas. So I'm not able to define the trauma per se, as I was just explaining. But I can see on the chart that there's a lot of aspects and points that point to a very difficult childhood. And I don't know where that client is in terms of opening up, ready to look at it, you know, how much trauma happened. So when I see that in a chart, I tread very lightly.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of start, I scratch the surface, and then I observe. I use a lot of my nonverbal observational skills and look at the client and try to see how the client is reacting, what they're doing emotionally. Are they starting to cry profusely? So then I define of how much deeper I'll go or not. And even check in, you know, with the client. How are you doing? Are you doing okay? And wait for that feedback to see how much deeper I can go. And if I feel that the client is just not ready, doesn't want to, or is just too emotionally moved by that, I kind of leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that there's more. I just don't go there because I feel the client is just not ready. And I leave the door open. And I say, you know, whenever you want to talk more about any aspect that I talked about on the chart, just let me know. And I'll be glad to go in more depth.
Yeah, so you're mindful of bringing things up and you know, in a light
yeah.
way. That's great. I love that. So,
yeah.
Ileana, if anybody wants to contact you, how can they do so?
They can contact me through my website. I have two websites. One is called lifeaspects.com, and that's my kind of counselor website. And the other is the astroaspects.com. And this is my astrology website. So either one of those are a great place to reach me.
Terrific. Thank you so much for being my guest, Ileana.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And thank you for joining me on Psych One-on-One. I appreciate you listening in. I hope you have a lovely week. And open yourself up. Take the journey. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye now.